Morning, everyone. Welcome back to Yecheskel. Today, we're going to learn Yecheskel Perchavav, Yecheskel chapter 26. Last week, we already began this second part of Sefer Yecheskel, which deals not primarily with the Jewish people, but rather with other nations and their fate. Talked a bit about why Yecheskel would address other nations. Last week, possibly as sort of the Jews are grappling with how this is happening to them and how could it be that it's happening to them and why is, even on a theological level, how could Hashem be defeated by Nebuchadnezzar's armies, etc. So this sort of gives a bigger picture that it's not just happening to the Jews, other nations will be destroyed as well. The next three chapters, believe it or not, three chapters straight, all deal with one nation, and that is the nation of Tsor, or Tyre. And it's quite fascinating that the Navi devotes three different prakim to Tsor. And the reason for that is because Tsor, Tyre, actually has quite a history with the Jewish people. And is mentioned many different times in Tanakh. So I'm actually curious, has anyone ever heard of Tsor before or Tyre or know of any other times in Tanakh where someone from Tyre or Sidon? Sidon is another nation right next to Tsor. Anybody?
Is that in Shmuel? Was that with David?
Yeah, what about with David? What about
Did he hide there? I can't remember.
I don't think he hid there.
No.
But King David,
I only got part of it. It was
that was good. That was good. No, you got it. It's definitely mentioned in Shmuel. Tired, sore. So in Shmuel, believe it or not, I'm not sure why you wouldn't believe it. I don't know why I said that. Anyway, when Shlomo HaMelech wanted to build a base of Mikdash, do you know who he asked to help him? Anybody know?
It was the king of...
Tsor.
Right. Did he get lumber from him or something?
Tsor. He got workers and lumber from him.
Yeah.
David, his father, had already established an alliance with Tsor as well before Shlomo became king. With Hiram Melech Tsor. And in fact, if you read about the construction of the Mikdash, it seems like Hiram played a very important part of it. I remember this because it was my Haftorah from my Maritza Parsha. It begins by Yas Hiram. Hiram made. He made a lot of the different, the menorah and all, a lot of the kelim.
Rabbi, is that where all of the material was sent by sea?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do remember.
No, that's Tsor, that's Tyre.
Yeah.
Additionally, for better and for worse, probably mostly for worse, the relationship was strengthened even more in the time of King Ahav. Have you heard of King Ahav? Yeah? Bad king. Who did Ahav marry? Who did Ahav marry? An infamous wife.
It wasn't Jezebel.
Jezebel. That's correct. Ezebel. Ezebel was from Sidon, which is the neighboring country to Tsor. And that really strengthened ties between the two nations for better and mostly for worse, because Ezebel was an awful queen. And indeed, it influenced the Jewish people in terms of their idolatry. See, Tsor certainly wasn't a monotheistic nation. It was a Canaanite nation, a pagan nation. So these are two nations that have had a very long relationship. In fact, a lot of this material that I'm sharing with you, I got from Tova Gonsel's article on Etzion, the Gush Beis Medrash on this chapter. Found it helpful. And also on HaTanach.com. Very helpful. but Tsor, that there is a description in Yirmiyahu of Tsor allying with Israel against Bava. against Bavel, at least originally. So you have a lot of history between these two nations. Now, before we, and based on that, that'll help us to understand some of what we'll read today, which is going to be about the downfall of Sor, although it gets quite complicated. I wanted to show you one more thing before we look at the text itself, and that is the location of Sor. One second. I'm going to share my screen and show you the map again. It is an important thing to keep in mind. Let's get this out of here. One second. Here. No. Here we are. Okay, I'm just going to zoom in a little bit first, and then I'll show you the map. This is good enough. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen, and you'll be able to see it, hopefully. Okay, so you should be able to see. Here is Tyre, and here is Israel. So it's right to the north, the northern border of Israel. Where is Tyre located? What would you say about its location?
It's on the port. It's on the water.
Exactly. And that's very significant. Why is that so significant? Why is it significant that Tyre is on the border in terms of its relationship with Israel?
So it's a border place. So in terms of imports.
Exactly. It's a port city almost, or nation, and a lot of commerce took place in Sor for that reason. It was a hub. That's the history of Sor, and that also becomes significant, and you'll see, you'll be able to better appreciate the analogies that Yechezkel makes based on this. Here, I'll just zoom in a little more, just so you can appreciate exactly where we are, although it gets a little bit. There you go.
Crowded.
No worries. You see, Sor is over here. This is the border of Israel. Asher is the northernmost tribe. You can see it on the coast. Here's Sor. Here's Sidon, which is an allying nation. Last time we were talking more around here from some of the other nations. But now we're talking about the north of Israel. One more brief comment about why Sor is now, in terms of the order here, we're going to get a date for this next prophecy, which is interesting, but it's not in chronological order. Barbanella, I suggest that the prophecies concerning the destruction of the other nations is in the order of when they were destroyed. So he argues that originally Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel attacked the nations that were described in our shir last week in Perek Chakhei, including Edom and Peleshet and Ammon. And then there was after doing that, that was right after he toppled Jerusalem. And then he went back to Bavel for a bit, and later he attacked Sor. So all that's some introductory information that is particularly relevant. We'll go back to the math maybe later. But now that you can appreciate this, let's learn some of this chapter together. Again, Perek Chavav. There are three chapters on, again, Sor. Three prakim are all devoted to the destruction of Sor. We'll focus on this one today. Here we go. Perek Aleph. Vayehi ba'ashtei asrei shana becha l'chodesh. It was in the 11th year, on the first of the month. Just noticing that, by the way, what information is missing? 11th year, the first of the month.
Doesn't say what month.
Good. Doesn't say what month. Which month? Your guess is as good as mine. Some say maybe it's the first month. Some say it's the month of the destruction. So that's talking about Av. Hard to know. Doesn't give us this information. I don't have a good answer why. Anyways, on the 11th year, presumably after Golos Yechoniah, 11th year after Yechoniah's exile, right? This is the year of the destruction of the destruction of the base of Mikdash. The word of God came to me saying, Ben Adam, Mr. Yechezkel, Yan Asher Amrat Sor Al Yerushalayim Heoch. You anybody recognize that structure? The word Ya'an, the word Ha'ach. Oh. This is how Yechezkel in last week begins all these different prophecies regarding the nations. It begins with Ya'an, because you did. And the word Ha'ach is sort of an onomatopoeia. It's like, ha. In this case, it indicates some sort of celebratory exclamation. So because Tzor uttered about Yerushalayim, aha, Nishbrula Dato Tamim Nasiva Eli, the gateways of the nations have been broken and is turned toward me, Im Allah Harava, I will fill that which has been destroyed. So before we go further, so this is quite startling. It's quite startling. Number one, because as I just told you, Tzor and Israel and Yehuda were allies. They were traditionally united. In fact, they even united against Bavel. So why would, but this pasuk is saying that Tzor celebrated the destruction of the Mikdash. So why did they? Then the pasuk sort of gives the answer. Do you see what it's saying? And keep in mind where Tzor was located. What do you think that's referring to? Nishbra Dlaltota Amim, the doors, the gateways, the nations have been broken. Nasiva Eli, they will now turn to me. Im Allah Hacharava, I will fill that which has been destroyed. What does that refer to?
Maybe it was more of an economic opportunity for Tzor.
Exactly. Meaning, and this is part of, you know, their focus. They're a border, they're a coastal nation. They're a coastal nation. In fact, it's a bit hazy, but at one point, we actually know a bit about Tzor historically, because it's described in you know, the histories of that time, by Josephus, by other Greek historians. So Tzor at that time was actually built on an island.
Oh.
Abarbanel argues that happened later. It originally was on the coast of the mainland. But Tzor is this hub, and Yerushalayim also was a hub. And so now that Yerushalayim has been destroyed, the Navi is arguing, Abarbanel explains, Tzor is rejoicing. They're saying, Im Allah Harava, I will fill that which has been destroyed. Meaning there's a gap. Now they have no, you know, there are all these merchants seeking, you know, a center of commerce where they can do business, and I'll fill the place. And Tzor is rejoicing for their newfound potential for economic prosperity. Now you can imagine why then Yechezkel is going to devote three chapters, no less, to this prophecy about Tzor's future, because that's particularly hurtful, right? Because this wasn't just any nation. This was a nation that was an ally, and yet because of the newfound economic opportunity, they're rejoicing upon the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Another point Tova Gonzel actually makes is that it's a theological purpose here as well, because Tzor didn't fall quickly as Yerushalayim did. And in fact, it was able to uphold itself against Nebuchadnezzar's siege for much longer. So how does that look to the Jewish people? It's a theological challenge. Why is it that Yerushalayim fell and Tzor has not yet fallen? Do they have a God that is more powerful? What's going on here? And so Yechezkel sort of, in a sense, is combating that argument by saying, no, Tzor also has the following future. So that's essentially the accusation. You celebrated the downfall of Yerushalayim. Continuing here. V'chein ko amar d'nai Elohim, hineni alai Tzor. Therefore, says the Lord God, I am upon you, Tzor, and I will bring upon you many nations, like the sea brings up its waves. You understand how that's a very apt mashal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's both figurative and literal, meaning Sor is a coastal nation. So the metaphor of many nations will attack you and I will send them forth like the sea sends forth its waves, it's a very gripping and poignant description of what's going to happen, particularly given the reality of Sor. This continues. Vishichatu chomot Sor. They will destroy the walls of Sor. Viharsu migdaleha, and they will topple its towers. Vishichichei afara mimeno. Vishichiti afara mimeno. I will scrape away the dust from under it. So this actually sort of points to the construction of Sor on a sort of island or a rock or something like that. So what Hashem is saying is, if you had a nation or a city built upon a rock, when the walls are brought down and towers are brought down, and you can imagine the destruction that leads and the dust from under the city is scraped away. Then v'natati osa l'tzchiyah sela, I will make it like a smooth, a bare rock, meaning the foundations will crumble, and all that will be left is the rock itself. Mishtach charamim tihiyeh betoch hayam. There will be a spreading place for nets in the sea. Ki'ani dibarti nam Hashem Elokim v'haysal levaz hagayim. For I have spoken, says the Lord God, and it will be the despised nation among the nations. So it's interesting. It's saying that it will be a place for spreading fishnets, right? Do you understand what it's saying is, as opposed to being this bustling center of commerce, there'll be a place where when fishermen boats sail by, they'll have somewhere to spread their nets on,
right,
where Tsur was located. It's a way of saying the whole thing is going to be laid waste. That's essentially the point. And again, you see why that's a particularly relevant, analogy, because it's literally a place where fishermen would sail by. Ubinotah asher basadeh. So the word binotah sometimes means daughters. Here it probably means not literally daughters, but the small town that were sort of the islands that were near Sor. Bachere teharagna. They will be killed by sword. B'yadu ki ani Hashem. And then they'll know that I am God. Hiko amar Hashem Elokim. So says the Lord God. Hinani mivi al Sor nevuchad retzar melech bafel. Mitzafon, Melech Melechim. I am bringing upon Sor Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, from the north, king of kings. That's quite a way of referring to Nebuchadnezzar. Not quite Melech Malchei Hamlachim, but Melech Melechim, a king of kings, clearly depicting how God is giving Nebuchadnezzar this really inordinate amount of power and strength at this time to be his vehicle of destruction. With horses, with chariots, and with riders, a great multitude of people. Nebuchadnezzar is coming with his army, a huge army. He will kill your towns by sword in the field. Vinatan alayach dayek vishafach alayach solalavi kim alayach zina. He will build a tower against you, a siege tower. He will pour a ramp against you, and he will build upon you. I have bucklered warriors is the English translation, hard Hebrew. Essentially, he will construct a siege, right? He's going to siege you. He's going to surround you. And this is interesting. The next one, just looking at the sort of weaponry, Mechi kabalo yitim b'chomotayach. What's mechi kabalo? And here I actually, I like to read what the Mefarshim say, and I think you'll understand why, what it is exactly. Just one moment. Rashi, in translating this, what's mechi kabalo? Hu echa mitach balo tamatsor. It is one of the tactics of siege. Lizrok avanim gidolot, to throw big stones. Umake kinegdo, and therefore cause destruction. So what's this referring to? Throwing big stones? A catapult.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So umechi kabalo and a catapult, yitem b'chom v'tayach, you put against your walls. Umiglo tayach, yitos b'char v'tav, you will smash your towers with a sword. Mishifat susav yechasech avakan. From the abundance of horses, the dust will cover you. Shifat susav means, it's the imagery here, when horses, many horses, gallop away on the road, what happens? They bring up dust from around them. So because of all the horses that are galloping against you, your walls will be covered with dust. Mikol parash v'gagal v'arecha t'r'ash nachom v'tayek, due to the sound of the wheels and the chariots, your gate, your walls will tremble. Mivo'o b'sharayach, when they come upon your gates, kimivo'e ir mivukah, as they enter, like those who enter a breached city. B'farsot susav, your most at kol chutotayek, with the spreading of the hooves of sources, they will trample over all your outskirts. Bacherev, ame bacherev yaharog, you will kill your nation by sword. And your pillars of strength will descend to the ground. Veshalalu chilech, they will plunder your wealth. Ubazazu rechulotech, they will take spoils from your merchandise. Like a rochel is a peddler, so rechulotech is the wares that you peddle. Beharsuchom v'tayach, I'll destroy your walls. Uvatechan datech utotsu, your beautiful houses they will smash. Va'avanaya v'etzayach v'aparech v'toch mayim yasimim, and your stones and wood and dust they will place into the water. Again, very apropos for a coastal nation. Vishpati hamon shiraya. And just here you get a little bit more of a flavor for what Sora was. And I will stop your multitude of songs. But kol kino raich lo yishama od, the noise of your harps will no longer be heard. It gives you the feeling that Sora was this hustling, bustling center with people, with song, all this stuff is going on, and now it's all going to be laid waste. And I will place you letzchiach stela for a bare rock. Mishtach haramim tiyah. This actually gets to be a little bit complicated, and I'll explain to you why. So I will make you a bare rock. You will be a place for people to spread their fishnets. You will not be built again because I, the God, have spoken. That so says the Lord God. Okay. Why is this problematic? It's problematic because of the phrase lo tibane od, which means you will not be built again. Why is that a problem? That is a problem because Sor, Barbanel at least knows, Sor was not utterly destroyed in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. It's not so. In fact, Sor was only destroyed much later in the time of Alexander the Great, which you understand is hundreds of years later. Alexander the Great, his reign was during the Second Temple period, right? Before the Hanukkah story. So that's a lot later. So understandably, and it's fascinating to see, Abarbanel was someone who apparently studied the historical works of the Greeks, etc. And he read that it's not so, that Sor was not utterly destroyed. It was attacked during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. The walls were breached, but it was not utterly destroyed during the time of the Nebuchadnezzar. So what's going on here? Why does it say Lo Tibane Od? What's going on here? So therefore, Abarbanel actually says that this does not refer to the destruction of Nebuchadnezzar. That actually what happened was that this Nebuah refers to two separate periods of destruction for Tzor. And the first half of the Nebuah up until this pasuk refers to what Nebuchadnezzar did. And the second half, what we're about to, actually refers to what will happen in the future in the time of Alexander the Great. And he argues that what happened was after Nebuchadnezzar originally attacked Tzor, move from the mainland to an island. And they're built upon this island. And that's when Nebuchadnezzar destroys it. So it's actually referring to two different destructions at Tzor in one Nebuah. And the Barbanel says that's what the Navi does sometimes. Once he begins to talk about a nation, he doesn't only focus on the current context, but he'll portray what will happen much later in the future. Malbim is not convinced, and the Malbim says no. When it says Lo Tibane Od, it doesn't mean that the city will never be built again at all, but rather it won't be built up in the same place. So why in a different place? It was moved, and that's Lo Tibane Od. Fascinating notion of trying to work out how the Navi is consistent with the historical account that was present at that time. But that's what Abarbanel is trying to do here. Fascinating shot. Next little paragraph here in this perek gives us a little bit more of a indication of what Tzor was. So he continues here. Ko amar nailohim letzor. Halo mikol mapaltech be'enok halal be'hareg hareg v'tochech yir ashu ha'i'im. Hashem says to Tzor, won't the islands tremble from the noise of your downfall with the groan of the slain as slaughter is perpetrated in your midst? Right? The islands allow, when this happens to you, all the islands around you will tremble. Biyarju me'al kisotam kol nisi'ei hayam. And all those who sail in the sea, the princes of the sea, will descend from their thrones. Vehisiru et milehem, they will remove their cloaks. That big day rikmatam yishotu, and their woven clothing they will take off. Charadot yolbashu ala aretz yishivu. They will guard themselves with trembling, and they will sit on the ground. Vechardu l'regaim, and they will sit there trembling for a number of moments, v'shamemu alayich, and they will be astonished and bewildered because of you. What do you think this is describing? These princes of the sea mourning like this, right?
They're not grieving the city that was?
Exactly, meaning this is a bustling city of commerce, and all the surrounding islands watch where they would, their center, where they would rely on for trade, get laid to waste, right? So all these sailors, all these Nisiei Hayam, who are now apparently quite wealthy, they're dressed in this royal clothing, and when they see the destruction of the sword, they take it off, and they don sackcloth, and they sit on the ground. And it's also almost sort of a midah k'neged midah, measure for measure, because at least according to Navi's accusation, what did Tzor do wrong? It rejoiced upon the destruction of its ally, because now all the wealth is going to come to me. Right. Now all the commerce is going to come to me. I will take the place and get even more business. Instead, Navi is saying, all those sailors, all those traders who sought you as a destination are all going to be mourning for you on the ground upon your destruction. Benasu Aliyah, continuing Pasuk Yizayin, verse 17, Nasu alayich kina, and they will eulogize you. Right? V'amru lach, and they will say about you, Eich avadza noshevet miyamin. Literally a kina about Tzor, right? How have you lost she who sat among the seas? Ha'ir ha'hulala, the praiseworthy city, the laudable city. Asher ha'ita chazaka bayam hi v'yoshveha, which was the strongest in the sea, he and its inhabitants. Asher nasnu chititim l'chol yoshveha, who had set their terror upon all the sea's inhabitants. Right, this very strong nation. Ata yechredu ha'iyin. Now the open places, the islands will tremble. Yoma paltech, upon the day of your downfall. Benivhalu ha'iyin asher bayam mitzeitech. And all the cities in the sea will tremble due to your outgoing, your exit. Finishing the little paragraph here. So says the Lord God, when I place you as a destroyed city, like a city that was never settled, and when I bring upon you the depths and the water covers you, I flood over you, right? Again, a very appropriate mashal. Doesn't mean that it's going to be overtaken by water. It's describing God's strike via the attacking armies as the flooding over of the sea upon an island. I will bring you down with those who descend to the pit. I will place you in the depths of the earth like those that were devastated long ago, those who descend to the pit, l'man lo teshevi, so that you will never be settled. Menasati tzvi be'aretz achayim. And instead, I will bestow splendor upon the land of life. Of course, what's the land of life?
Israel.
Right. So instead of Tzor saying, I will take Israel's place, Hashem is saying the opposite. You're going to go to the depth. And you see that imagery, it sort of sounds like sinking into the depths, sinking all the way down into the nethermost depths of the earth. It's like an island that's sinking down into the sea. And so instead of you celebrating, I will bring back the light, the splendor to Israel. Balahut etznech ve'enech. I will make you into a fright, and you will no longer. And you will be sought and never found again. So says the Lord God. So I think it's again, and this is not the end. Next week, please God, we'll look at the next chapter, which is a very elaborate analogy of Tzor to a boat, to a sailing boat. And that's the way a God depicts the destruction. But I think part of the ferocity in which Hashem describes destruction here is due to the treachery. Meaning, because Tzor was this ally to the Jewish people, and because despite their relationship, due to this, I guess, assumed opportunity for economic prosperity, they rejoice upon the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Hashem is saying that your celebration will ultimately be your downfall. And instead of being this bustling hub of commerce in the middle of the city, everybody was excited to travel to, you will no longer, you will sink to the depths. When exactly that happens, it's interesting to debate. Whether that's referring to Nebuchadnezzar's time or much later in the time of Alexander the Great, but that Hashem is saying the rejoicing over the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash is not founded upon anything and will only lead to your downfall. A lot to say about Tzor. And I invite you to do some of your own research as well, but we'll continue the discussion next week, Bezra Hashem. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. That was very interesting.